Trump signals what may hinge on his plan for a deal to end the war in Ukraine.
I want to have security of rare earth. We're putting in hundreds of millions of dollars. They have great rare earth, and I want security of the rare earth.
What are rare earth minerals, and why does the U.S. want them?
It is a huge game of catch-up, and it happens that, you know, there's a convergence between this big picture push to try to figure out how to catch up. And this is a multi-decadal catch-up problem.
Today is Friday, February 21st, and this is The Issue from VOA.
I'm Scott Walterman.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lori London.
So we're looking to do a deal with Ukraine where they're going to secure what we're giving them with their rare earth and other things.
U.S. President Donald Trump on his plan earlier this month, but Ukraine rejected the first deal offered by the United States, setting off a series of public criticisms by Trump.
I've been watching him negotiate with no cards. He has no cards. And you get sick of it. You just get sick of it. And I've had it.
That was Trump in an interview on Fox News Radio's The Brian Kilmeade Show. Trump said this week that he believed the U.S. had a deal on accessing Ukraine's critical minerals when Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent traveled to Kyiv last week.
Frankly, I wish he didn't go there, waste all of his time like that. But they couldn't get close. They met.
Right.
And then when he wanted to get it closed, he was unable to meet him again. But so it was just a wasted trip.
But Friday at the annual Conservative Political Action Conference, U.S. National Security Advisor Mike Waltz expressed confidence there would be a deal.
Here's the bottom line. President Zelensky is going to sign that deal. And you will see that in the very short term.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said previously that he directed his ministers not to sign off on a proposed agreement, emphasizing Kyiv was not giving away its resources, but offering a mutually beneficial partnership.
Я дякую кожному з наших партнерів, які розуміють, що потрібні сильні позиції і на фронті.
But in his nightly address Thursday, Zelensky said he had a good meeting with Trump's Ukraine envoy this week on agreements that will truly work, and that he gave instructions to work swiftly and very sensibly.
To understand why the U.S. wants the minerals and why they're of value in a deal to end the war, we're joined by Michel Misofas, a fellow in energy, minerals, and materials at Rice University's Baker Institute for Public Policy.
Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us.
Sure.
For the very basics to start with, can you tell us exactly what rare earth minerals are and why it seems to be so important for the Trump administration to have?
When Russia invaded Ukraine, one of the first big problems was titanium supply, because both countries provide key exports of titanium into the marketplace. There was a mad scramble by everybody in the aerospace and defense industries to try to make sure that there was sufficient titanium to be able to proceed with weapons manufacturing, and everybody that uses titanium for everything was in the same boat. A lot was done to secure alternative supplies, but within the patch of the cluster of industries that are titanium dependent, this is on a timeline. The sooner the conflict gets resolved, the better off we'll be. Otherwise, we'll have some pretty interesting things to deal with. Rare earth metals, on the other hand, rare earth elements, there are other locations for that, including here in the United States. And there are things that are happening to improve supply. And while Ukraine has that resource, it's going to take years to develop it. It is not anything that is available to us anytime soon. I mean, you know, as you look at recovery in Ukraine and what some of the potential is for us to help with post-war recovery, it would be on the table along with everything else. But titanium is a critical, crucial element that goes into a lot of sensitive stuff, and was already, you know, it was a lightning rod when everything started to happen. Titanium is an issue now. Rare earths development in Ukraine could be part of a long-term recovery plan. It would be important for Europe. It would be important for global supply. It would check a lot of boxes. But it's not something that, you know, would come into the market anytime soon. All of Ukraine's resources and all of their businesses, you know, are of interest when you look at, you know, where we would funnel recovery funds and how and so on. And there have been lively discussions already in Europe. We've been party to some about what could be done and how it could be done with what industries in ways that would be creative for Ukraine as well as for, you know, partner countries.
So I think there are two views. I think you're right. I think there is the short term and the long term. And I think the long term here is the second half of the deal. But let's talk, before we get there, let's talk about mm-hmm. titanium. What is it used mm-hmm. for? You said it's
jet
used
fighters,
in military.
For one thing.
Say it again.
Jet fighters. Titanium is the metal of choice when we look at alloys for aviation, and so it's in most aviation products and to some degree, but it is especially in military hardware. It's a key ingredient in jet fighters and other weapon systems. It's at the high-end hearing aids are made of titanium. Bone joint transplants. You know, one of the first things that happened with the invasion was the cost of a knee replacement. They're all titanium based. It's a very nice metal. When it comes to using titanium in healthcare, it turns out that it's very good for healing and other things. It works very well. So it is a very, very important material. But the deployment in key weapon systems like our advanced fighters and drones is really a top concern.
Is it true that the American economy is currently highly dependent on Chinese sources? Does this have to do with economic and national security?
So when it comes to that particular group of elements, the rare earths, the lanthanides, China is the dominant supplier of that material for everyone in the world, not just us. There have been issues with Chinese control of rare earth supply in the past. The Chinese withheld supply of rare earths in a disagreement with their neighbors in Northeast Asia back in 2010, 2011, and that created a very recent, in recent memory, example of what happens when a critical mineral is withheld, that is controlled, you know, by a dominant supplier. This is, the Chinese have rare earth resources domestically that they've developed, but they also process concentrates from rare earth sites around the world. In our case, in the United States, we have a facility that was operating and then went into bankruptcy, has come out of bankruptcy, Mountain Pass, California, trying to get back on track with production. Until a few months ago, 100% of our concentrate was getting shipped to China for processing, which is the more complicated part of the extraction process. Mountain Pass has moved to invest in processing there, but it's been a slow ramp. Rare earths tend to occur in earth with other things, including radioactive materials, in our case, thorium. So when we look at rare earth supply in the United States, if more than 50% or more of your production slate includes thorium, then you fall under the jurisdiction of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, which tends to hold up projects. And there's no offtake for the thorium. And this has been, this has made it difficult to invest in and move forward with rare earth extraction projects in our country. There are attempts to look at rare earths in other places. There was the Swedes are looking at it there. They've got a deposit that they want to try to commercialize. but they are years away as well. And so, you know, it is a topic of discussion and a concern across both civilian and defense fronts when it comes to uses and you know, the potential for disruptions.
What are some of the rare earth materials that you think are in Ukraine?
But I suspect that what I would see would be presence of neodymium, which is one of the ones that is of interest to everybody because it goes into magnets, and those magnets have multiple very convenient uses, and you know, everything from instrumentation, high-end instrumentation, like you would, geospatial devices, vehicles, satellites, jet fighters, other things, motors, magnets for motors, electric vehicle powertrains, the motors for wind turbines, things like that. You tend to find rare earth-derived materials in those magnets. And there are other products out of the slate of minerals that go into similar uses, high-end microelectronics being a big category, some into other metals for alloys and so on.
I understand there's also a lot of beryllium there, and I don't know if I'm saying this right, tantalum?
Tantalum, mm-hmm. And those are – a lot of those kinds of minerals are important for things like metals alloys, steel making, other things – a variety of different kinds of products.
And so all of this, what are the broader geopolitical implications over this battle?
Well, I mean, it happens that all these conversations are occurring at a time when both the U.S. and the Europeans – well, pretty much everybody, especially all of the member countries in NATO, have been trying to understand better the supply chains for key minerals and materials that we depend on for so many things. And so it's a desire to be able to diversify supply chains. So, diminish the influence that the Chinese have. But bear in mind, the Chinese are the ones who have been willing to sustain investment in all these businesses, while in our case, in the case of Europe, people have shifted away from these businesses. They've lost favor for a variety of reasons. It's generally difficult to engage in minerals extraction in our collective countries, say NATO member countries, as opposed to China, India, and a variety of other countries around the world that have sustained mining industries where we have let ours to decline. So, that's a geopolitical risk that everybody is just coming around to recognizing. You let your vital basic industries like that decline over 30 years, and all of a sudden you are where you are in terms of, supply chain fragility. So there are multiple things going on around this that are influencing geopolitical tensions and positioning, not just this particular crisis in this particular situation. This happens to be happening in a bigger context as people are grappling with the fact that we use minerals and metals and for everything. And we have issues in accepting the kinds of industries and processes that are needed to extract them.
So this is just playing catch up, and this is just one little piece of this big
giant
puzzle.
It is a huge game of catch up, and it happens that there's a convergence between this big picture push to try to figure out how to catch up, and this is a multi-decadal catch up problem. This is not something that's going to happen overnight. But what's happening, of course, is it's converging with all of these delicate negotiations about Ukraine and how to think about a post-conflict arrangement.
All right. Well, we thank you so much for the insights and educating us on all of this.
Well, I hope it helped.
Well, in fact, it did. Michelle Misofas, fellow in energy, minerals, and materials at Rice University's Baker Institute for Public Policy.
You've been listening to The Issue on the Voice of America.
A lot of people here at VOA, both here in Washington and around the world, we all thank you for spending this time with us.
For news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, check out our website at voanews.com.
In Washington, I'm Scott Walterman.
And I'm Lori London. We'll talk to you soon.